Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our texts today are taken from our epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and from our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 4. Well, every once in a while I get asked this question. Hey, Pastor, how come we don't have kneelers in the pews? Yeah, well, I almost always answer, it's like, well, those who decided when they were going to build the church, well, they felt that, well, as far as worship is concerned, it wasn't really necessary that they have kneelers in the pews, okay? Now, but you'd be thinking, well, what do we do up here? We kneel up here for communion, do we not? Yeah, well, we do that because, well, that puts us in a proper attitude, quite frankly, for what we're about to receive, Christ's body and blood there. It helps us remember the sacrifice that he went through on our behalf. So it's good that we kneel there. So now you might be thinking, well, why do we do one and not the other? Well, go back to that kneeler's question. Because usually when I get asked that, somebody will say, it's like, well, you know, back home at my church there, well, they had them in there. And when I get that response, well, I respond back with a question. I ask them, it's like, well, was there a large Catholic presence in your town where you grew up? No, I ask that. Why? Well, generally speaking, and this isn't always true, but generally speaking, if there was a large Catholic presence in your town, then the Lutheran Church would not have kneelers. And if they did not have a large Catholic presence in town, then the Lutheran Church would have kneelers. Why? Just to be different. That's why. Just to be different. Okay? Now, when you go down south, down in Baptist country, well, that doesn't apply down there, all right? Generally speaking, there, it's just whatever the congregation decides at the time, and well, they'll put kneelers in or not. Differences. Okay? Differences. That's what it was about. That's also what's going on in our epistle lesson for today, too. Listen again as Paul's speaking here. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Differences. People like differences because, well, sometimes it separates us one from another. But Paul quickly, though, points out the most important difference. It's in the last verse there in our epistle lesson. He says, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. That difference right there, that should be the one and only difference between any people. All right? Does the word of the cross and what it means, is that folly to you or not? Or to put it another way, do you follow Jesus or not? So what does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, that we can go to our gospel reading for today. Now, first of all, we find there that Jesus is calling the people to repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Now, what does this mean? Well, Jesus is out there telling the people that they need to turn back to God. And what's the implication of that? Well, that implication of turning back to God means that the people are sinning, all right? They're doing those things that are contrary to what God has told us to do. So he's telling them, hey, you need to turn back to the Lord. And so what is that? So, well, they might not be in regular worship, all right? They may not be going and honoring God with their heart and with their mind. They might go once in a while thinking that, well, that's going to keep grandma or mom and dad happy, and, you know, if I show up once in a while, it'll keep them off my back. Well, that's kind of what folks do sometimes. And in thinking so, they're thinking that, well, I'm just kind of getting by. Well, to reinforce his calling for the people to repent, Jesus follows it up with deeds that would certainly get their attention. He went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Now, what is it that we should be focusing on here about what Jesus is doing? Consider the first thing. What was he doing? He was teaching the people. He was getting their attention back on God's word. He was preaching to them. That was the first thing that he was doing. And in doing so, well, he's reminding the people of how God wants us to live our lives. And so also, too, in doing that, they're going to be reminded that what the people did in their history. If they followed God and his word, well, they were blessed. And if the people were not following the Lord, well, sometimes they were disciplined, and disciplined very severely. When they strayed, they had to repent and turn back to the Lord. For in going back to the Lord, they would find forgiveness. And so what would they do? Well, then they would offer a sacrifice on behalf of themselves there so that they indeed would find that forgiveness. But you see, God had a bigger plan for Jesus. And that's why he did more than just teaching and preaching to the people. He healed them. The blind could see, the lame could walk, the dead were raised. And what's that going to do? Well, that's going to get the people, again, reminded about God's word. They're going to go back and find out. It's like, well, hey, this is what was prophesied about what the Messiah was going to do. And here this Jesus, he's doing it. Now they're going to begin to understand a little bit more about who he is. They're going to be tying those two things together now, understanding here that God indeed had a plan. See, God's plan was bigger than what they ever thought of. Jesus was going to be the last sacrifice. See, the people would be bringing their sacrifices there, but they'd have to do it again and again because they sinned again and again. But God wanted to end that once and for all. Jesus became that last sacrifice. And so when he went to the cross and died there on that cross, he earned the forgiveness of sins for everyone. Now, that fact, though, is a stumbling block for some people. Many who claim to be wise, thinking that it's folly for God to come down and take on human form and then offer up his own life as a sacrifice, that just doesn't make sense. But God chose the foolish things of this world to bring everlasting peace for those who believe in Jesus. And so that very reason, that we who desire that everlasting peace with God, well, we believe in Jesus. Jesus is the way God expressed that love to us. And we desire that love. And we desire that faith. You see, it's all about Jesus. And our focus needs to be on Jesus. And that's where it should be all the time. Because as we live our lives and go throughout our days in this world, well, there are many distractions, differences, if you will, that try and lure us away from our faith in God. You know, we might run across folks who, you know, say that they're children of Abraham, and rightly so. But they may say that's like, well, no, it's because, you know, I am a child of Abraham, well, I'm going to get into heaven. And what that does is that leaves out Jesus. See, Jesus came here for the children of Abraham. He came for everyone. But being a descendant of Abraham doesn't matter when it comes to matters of faith. What matters is Jesus and your relationship with him. See, not believing that he came in the flesh and not believing that he died and rose again and not believing that all of that, you will find that you are not following Jesus. And that difference will separate you eternally from our God. But we as believers, we know that. Okay, so if we keep the faith and we're following Jesus all our days, keeping our attention on him, well, that helps minimize those distractions and differences that might tempt and lure us away from our God. You know, back in the day, it was a scandal for a Lutheran boy to marry a Catholic girl. Well, many would have been appalled that he might have had to convert over to the Catholic Church. And there were days, those were the days then that, well, really the competition was the other denomination that was down the block. Well, The trouble is that, well, those people down the block, well, they also follow Jesus. You see, it's just kind of differences there, just like what Paul was talking about in our epistle lesson there, following different people. But all those different people, though, they still believed in Jesus. You see, there's going to be plenty of people surprised when they get up to heaven and they're going to find Lutherans and Catholics and Baptists all living on the same block. You know, today the issue is not the other denomination out there that's the big deal. You see, we in the United States, we live in the third largest mission field in the world. As a result, we find in our own country that we are being assaulted for what we believe in, that we are Christians because we follow Jesus. It seems that everybody else can talk about their faith, but not so the Christian. You see, it's still all about Jesus. You follow him or not? Well, let me keep it simple, and let me encourage you with Jesus' own words. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one gets into heaven except by me." You see, we who believe in Jesus Christ, we have that life-saving faith. It's ours already. So be encouraged by that. Let others know that you indeed follow Jesus, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And we can thank God for that and the faith that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ.